As the gay and lesbian communities have seen dramatically more social acceptance in the past decade, the focus of the LGBT rights movement has shifted a bit more toward the T in LGBT, transgender. In the past, transgender people largely came out later in life as adults. But with more visibility and awareness, more and more children are identifying as transgender as well. Last year, for example, here in Central Time, we spoke with a transgender 6-year-old girl and her mother from rural Wisconsin about their experience at home and in their community. As the trans community grows younger, kids have more options, but those options raise questions and challenges for parents, medical professionals, and the kids themselves. Frontline digs into those questions in their new documentary, Growing Up Trans. It airs tonight at 9 on your local public television station. Here with us now is the producer of that documentary, Karen O'Connor. Karen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, as you explore this issue and talk to families, is it a new thing that kids are identifying as transgender?
I think it is, or certainly the scale and scope of it is new, and I think, as you described it, the growing visibility. I mean, in recent years, I think the most striking change for trans people, really, is this possibility of switching genders at younger and younger ages, and a growing number of kids across the country are, as you described, in your community there, too, starting to live as the opposite gender, called social transition, and that's happening as early as preschool, and then as they get older and head towards puberty, then begins the decision and dilemmas about medical interventions that were not possible in this country until 2007. So it's all relatively new, and it's changed everything for transgender people everywhere.
Yeah, what used to be the trajectory for a trans person's life? When did they start making transitions?
Typically it was adults who at least moved towards medical interventions. In this country in the late 50s, you probably heard of Christine Jorgensen, and then later Renee Richards, a fairly well-known tennis player, and they were called transsexuals at the time. So largely any medical interventions, and it was usually surgery, was limited to adults, and then it all kind of shifted in this country within the last decade, and that's largely with the introduction of medicines called puberty blockers, which allow doctors now to delay and suspend puberty so that kids now who feel as if they've been born in the wrong body don't ever have to go through the biological sex of their birth sex. So it's changed everything pretty dramatically.
Now, in the past, and probably many people have encountered kids who don't entirely match socially their gender role, you know, the traditional or stereotypical tomboy, or in Free to Be You and Me, there was the Billy mm-hmm. Has a Doll segment.
Sure.
But in talking to these kids, watching this documentary, there's a big difference, it seems like, between that kind of nonconformity and knowing, feeling that you're transgender at a young age.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's right. There have always been, always, forever, kids and people who defy gender norms, and there have always been those who fall outside that binary. But yes, this is very different, and according to all the experts and according to the kids themselves, it's a very kind of deep and profound disconnect between that's very different from feeling as if they're even a kind of feminine boy or a more boyish girl, those classic tomboy associations. This is very different. This is feeling something fundamentally off in one's essential identity, and often known by the kind of intensity of the distress around body, puberty, those kinds of things.
Well, the bulk of this Frontline documentary is following the stories of different kids going through this experience. And I want to touch on one or maybe two of those. Can you start by telling us about Ariel? She transitioned to female at a pretty young age.
She did. Ariel is a 13-year-old when we meet her. She was born male, grew up as Ian, and then around middle school, 11 years old, starts to live more publicly as a girl. She, before that, is a little of what you described. She describes herself as a kid in the middle, a more feminine boy, until she realized she wasn't a feminine boy. She really felt as if she was a girl. So Ariel started on puberty blockers at 11, that changed everything. She has a look very different from what would have been a transgender adult. She, for all intents and purposes, you would never know, though it gave her the possibility to kind of go secret into her middle school and where she was outed in a school locker room. But she's been on puberty blockers and started cross-sex hormones this year at 14. So she, in some way, is this extraordinarily articulate, self-aware young woman who is one of the kids, and they're all quite remarkable, who I think make pretty vivid what it is to experience being transgender.
Well, I want to give a listen to Ariel and her mother now talking about how Ariel first started identifying as a girl. We've got a clip here.
So she asked us to call her a different Disney princess name every day. So every day, every day we had a different name, and there was an order to it. Cinderella, Belle, Ariel, Snow White, and they were in order, all the Disney princesses. And on that day, I would have to call her that.
And I remember my grandmother, she cared so much about me that she wrote on her calendar every day, like, what princess I was supposed to be.
So she would make sure she called you the right name.
It just made me think, like, she cares about me so much that she writes on her calendar who I am each day, which was really amazing. And made me so happy.
Now, you talked to a number of families here, Karen, who had different attitudes toward this change. How much difference did you see in the families? How much difference did a support from a family like we just heard about from Ariel make for these kids?
I think it's a pretty wide-ranging view in the film. Ariel's mom is very supporting and affirming. You meet not long into the film Alex, who's same age, whose parents are struggling and very concerned about the medications, though they aren't sure they have any other options, to Kyle, who's 13 himself, whose father is very worried about a 13-year-old making these life-changing decisions that will in some case be irreversible, and then John Blanchard, who's 16, and his father, a deeply religious man who is just opposed to both kind of homosexuality and transgenderism, So Bert articulates what it is from his point of view to what he describes lose his daughter. So I think the film, in the kind of full trajectory of it, tries to represent a pretty wide range of not only the kids but the parental reactions to it as well.
Talking to Karen O'Connor, producer of the new Frontline documentary Growing Up Trans. Now, you've mentioned the puberty blocker medications, Karen, and regardless of family support here, this is really uncharted territory in a lot of ways. These are medicines being used in new ways, not a long track record. What did you hear from families wrestling with, agonizing over the decision here?
I think it's the toughest for them. It is a world of unknowns, and the parents are struggling with it. All of the parents, I would say, and also the doctors. We meet some extraordinary doctors along the way working in these gender clinics, and they couldn't be more direct and honest about what they're dealing with. This is a new kind of medicine, as one doctor describes. This is not. It's disconcerting to be dealing with so many unknowns, but that's kind of where they are with it, and they're all navigating this new world. But it's an area with limited research and very few studies. So in some ways, these kids are going to be, as they're described, the pioneers. They're going to be the ones who let everybody know some years down the road what these decisions meant.
And you, in this documentary, are actually in the doctor's, a real doctor's office with real families having these conversations. How did you get this kind of access? What was it like to be in there in these pivotal life-changing moments?
Yeah, it was really kind of amazing, and we felt very fortunate that the families entrusted us with their stories this way, and the doctors. We got unprecedented access to the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago and worked with a team there. But all across the country, the families were really quite amazing. It was moving. It was eye-opening. It was revealing. It was surprising, all that you would expect. And to come in on literally in real time with moms and dads and doctors making these decisions while we were while we're there, really following it as it was unfolding was really really quite extraordinary.
And a common theme among the kids who are trying to make this transition before puberty is a fear of puberty. It's the time, one of them says, where they become exactly what they don't want to be. How did they talk about that?
Yeah, that's an amazing one. That's true. That's Alex, the 13-year-old who was born female in transition. That's right. Everything he dreads, everything he didn't want would be that. He's wishing for, you know, which he's wearing three sports bras and self-conscious about his chest. In that case, Alex transitioned too late for puberty blockers, so he missed that window. So now he's talking already about starting testosterone and someday having what's called top surgery, which would be a double mastectomy. I mean, it's all slightly disorienting to hear 13-year-olds, you know, looking down the road like that. Arielle talks about the worst thing in her life would be to get a beard and an Adam's apple. So she's been spared that. So the stories, you see the contrast between a kid like Arielle who's had these and then kids like John and Kyle who have not. So the difference is almost generational. Arielle represents this new generation of trans kids who have an entirely new look and new possibilities for blending in and for kind of living inconspicuously that was never possible before. So it's the thing that was the most thrilling, is to have the kids take you inside their world in this way. I didn't know anything about it, and it was just absolutely revelatory. Wherever you are on the issue, the kids are quite remarkable.
We'll leave it there. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
We've been speaking with Karen O'Connor. She's a producer with Frontline, and the documentary we've been talking about, she produced it. It's called Growing Up Trans. You can see that tonight at 9 on your local public television station.